name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque is the saint par excellence of devotion to the heart of Jesus. On repeated occasions, Jesus appeared to her with his heart burning in flames of love, and revealing to her this divine heart, which has loved men so much and which awaits us in the Eucharist. She was making extraordinary revelations and promises so that we can assure our salvation and sanctify ourselves with the treasures of his love. The most important promise is that of the first 9 Fridays of the month, but the one that speaks of giving peace to families and blessing the places where the image of his heart is exposed and honored is also important. May the divine heart of Jesus fill us with his love and make us walk with great strides on the path of holiness. For there is no better means of sanctification than to be within this divine heart, consecrated to him and dedicated to making him beloved by the whole world. After her profession, she stood out among her sisters for her fervor before the Blessed Sacrament and for being obedient in everything, faithfully fulfilling her obligations. The superior commissioned her to be an assistant to her sister nurse, and she dedicated herself to this profession with unlimited charity. However, she had a lot to suffer, since the nurse almost never approved of what she did, and although St. Margaret Mary Alacoque put all her efforts into fulfilling her job, she never came to satisfy her sister nurse, despite taking the most difficult and costly jobs. She says, "I was employed in the infirmary, and God can only know what I had to suffer there. The devil often made me fall and break everything I had in my hands. And then he made fun of me, laughing in my face, saying, 'Clumsy, you will never do anything useful.' I was left with such sadness that I did not know what to do, since I often took away even being able to tell our mother superior, because obedience brought down and dissipated all her forces." The devil had seen with bad eyes for several years the sanctity of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and all the good that she did for the salvation of souls, and the devil tried with the permission of God to put difficulties in all her works. Sister Billet declared in the process of beatification that being in the common room with St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and another, they saw 3 times during the same recess that the saint was taken away from her seat, who as many times fell to the ground, which made them think that it was the demon that was making fun of her. On another occasion, she said that the devil made her fall from the top of the stairs when she was carrying fire in a clay stove, which did not break. The sisters, seeing the terrible sufferings the saint suffered, thought that she was possessed by the devil. She says, "They sprinkled me with a lot of holy water, making the sign of the cross on me and saying prayers to remove the evil spirit. And Jesus would hold me tightly and say to me, 'I like holy water and I love the cross so much that I bond closely with those who carry it for my love.' On one occasion, the Lord warned me that Satan had asked permission to test me in the crucible of contradictions, humiliations, temptations, and abandonments, and all of this was allowed by Jesus to her, except the temptations of impurity. After this, I did not take long to hear the threats of my persecutor, the devil. He appeared before me in a horrible form, with eyes sparkling like 2 coals, and gnashing his teeth, he said to me, 'I will take you over, and if I manage to have you once in my power, I will make you understand what I can do, and I will harm you in everything.' But I felt internally strengthened, and it seemed to me that I had not feared all the fury of hell because of the great force that I felt within me, and because of the virtue of a small crucifix to which my sovereign liberator, Jesus Christ, had given the power to drive away all the hellish fury from me. I always carried it on my heart, day and night, and received continuous aid from it. Sometimes the devil would tempt me to despair, making me see that a creature as wicked as I could not claim to have any part in heaven. Other times he attacked me out of pride and then gluttony, making me feel dreadful hunger. Then he showed to me everything that is capable of satisfying my taste, and this happened at the time of my spiritual exercises, causing me extraordinary torment. I was hungry until I entered the dining room to take my food, towards which I suddenly felt such disgust that I needed to do extreme violence to take some food. And as soon as I got up from the table, the hunger began again with more violence than before. My enemy, the evil one, did not cease to attack me in any way, except from the temptations of impurity, because my divine master, Jesus Christ, did not give him permission to tempt me in this. Once, however, he made me suffer terrible pains, and it was so that the superior told me, "Go and take the place of our King of France before the Blessed Sacrament." While there, I felt so strongly attacked by abominable temptations of impurity that it seemed to me that I was in hell. I sustained this dreadful attack for several hours in a row, and it lasted until the superior had lifted my obedience, telling me that I would no longer represent the person of the King of France before the Blessed Sacrament, but that of a good religious from the Visitation. Immediately, my pains in this matter ceased, and I found myself drowning in a deluge of consolations. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque learned by experience that the best way to confront the evil spirit was with obedience, which is also the best means of personal sanctification. One day Jesus said to her, "My daughter, do not do anything without the approval of those who lead you, so that having authorization of obedience, the evil spirit cannot deceive you, since it has no power over the obedient." All religious, separated and disunited from their superior, must be considered as vessels of reprobation. My heart rejects these souls in such a way that the more they try to get closer to it through the sacraments, prayers, and other exercises, the more I distance myself from them because of the horror they inspire in me. They will go from hell to hell because this disunity is what has already lost so many souls and will continue to lose them, since all superiors, good or bad, take my place. And the lower one, how many times he wants to hurt him, inflicts as many mortal wounds on his own soul. Then he will groan in vain at the door of my mercy, for I will not listen to him if he did not hear the voice of the superior. And St. Margaret Mary Alacoque says, "I then saw a great number of religious souls who, because they had some disunity with their superiors, were deprived of the help of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of the saints and of the visit of their guardian angels amid the terrible flames of purgatory, where some will remain until the day of judgment." The Eucharistic Jesus was the center of her life, because there Jesus manifested himself to her with his heart burning with flames of love, and her desire to join him in her communion was so great that it was a real torment for her not to be able to receive it every day. For St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, the daily Mass was little, and she would have liked to attend all the Masses that were celebrated throughout the world. For this reason, she united in spirit to all the Masses of the day, and she said to her novices, "Offer to God all the Masses that are celebrated in the Church. Pray to your holy angels to hear them, and offer them in their place to repair so many offenses that our Lord receives from sinners throughout the world." St. Margaret Mary Alacoque herself tells us about her love for the Eucharistic Jesus. "I could not say vocal prayers in front of the Blessed Sacrament, where I felt so absorbed that I never got tired, and I would have spent the days and nights there without drinking or eating and without knowing what I was doing, if it was not consuming me in his presence like a burning candle to pay his love for love. I could not stay in the lower part of the church, and no matter how confused I felt in myself, I kept putting myself as close as possible to the Blessed Sacrament." St. Margaret Mary Alacoque loved the Virgin Mary dearly, like a mother. When St. Margaret was a child, she fell seriously ill, and she says, "No remedy for my ills could be found until I consecrated myself to the Blessed Virgin Mary, promising her that if she cured me, in time I would be her daughter. As soon as I had made this vow, and when I received health, it happened with a new protection from the Blessed Virgin Mary." The Virgin Mary has always been a good mother to me. She has never denied me her help, and I resorted to her in all my sorrows and needs with such confidence that I seemed to have nothing to fear under her maternal protection. I also made the vow to fast every Saturday, to pray the office of the Immaculate Conception for her, and to genuflect 7 times every day of my life, saying 7 Hail Marys in honor of her 7 sorrows. And I then offered myself to be her slave perpetually, begging her not to withhold this title from me. I spoke to the Virgin Mary with the simplicity of a child to my good mother. The angels were a very important part of her spiritual life. She assures, "I saw the guardian angels of the sisters, who approached me to present the hearts that they had, which which upon contact with the sacred wound of the heart of Jesus, became beautiful and shining like stars. To them it was said, "In this abyss of love is your mansion and rest forever." And they were the hearts of those who have worked the hardest to make him known and loved. It seems to me that this divine heart would like us to have a particular union and devotion to the holy angels, who are especially destined to love, honor, and praise our Lord Jesus Christ in this divine sacrament of love, so that being united and associated with them, they may supply us in his divine presence, both to pay our homages to him and to love him on our behalf, and for all those who do not love him, and to repair the irreverence we commit in his holy presence. One day, being busy with common work, I retired to a little corner to be closer to the Blessed Sacrament. Our Lord used to give me very special graces there, and since they disapproved of my going to that place, I recklessly replied that I would not return to him. However, I felt compelled to do so. I couldn't resist. And saddened by it, I went to tell the superior, who told me that I should not stop going. Having returned, I saw a multitude of blessed spirits who told me that they were destined to honor Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, and that if I wanted to associate with them, they would welcome me. For this, it was necessary to start living his own life. They would help me as much as they could, and would make up for my impotence in rendering to our Lord the homages of love that he desires from me. On the other hand, it was necessary that in suffering, I would supply their impotence. Thus, we would unite the patient love and the joyful love. And they made me read our covenant written in the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. She tells us, "The kind heart of my adorable Jesus was presented to me brighter than the sun. He was surrounded by seraphim who sang with admirable concert, 'Love triumphs, love rejoices, his heart rejoices us.' And as these blessed spirits invited me to join them in the praises of the divine heart, I did not dare to do so. They rebuked me, telling me that they had come in order to associate with me to pay him a continuous tribute of love, adoration, and praise. And to this end, they would take my place before the Blessed Sacrament, so that I could love him without interruption through them. And they in turn would participate in my love, suffering in my person as I would enjoy in theirs. They wrote at the same time this association in the Sacred Heart in letters of gold and with the indelible characters of love. This lasted from 2 to 3 hours, but I have felt its effects throughout my life, already from the help received and from the sweetness that it had produced in me, leaving me full of confusion. In directing my prayers to them, I no longer gave them any other name than that of my dear associates. This grace inspired me with such a desire for purity of intention, and it made me conceive such a high idea of purity that one must have to converse with God, that all other things seemed impure for this purpose. Another day, our Lord Jesus came to console me, saying, 'My daughter, do not worry, because I want to give you a faithful custodian who will accompany you everywhere and assist you in all your needs. It seems to me that I no longer have anything to fear, because this faithful guardian of my soul assists me with so much love that he frees me from all pain. But I didn't see him because my Lord concealed his sensitive presence from me in order to engulf me in the most rigorous pains of his sanctity of justice. That was when the angel consoled me with his most familiar treatment, saying to me on one occasion, 'I want to tell you who I am, my dear sister, so that you may know the love that your husband has for you. I am one of the 7 spirits who are closest to the throne of God and who most participate in the fires of the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ.' Again, the angel told me, 'Take care that none of the graces and singular caresses that you receive from our God make you forget what he is and what you are. Otherwise, I myself would try to stun you.' On another occasion, when they wanted to make me intervene in the arrangement of a marriage, I saw him in the act of prostrating with his face on the ground. And having asked him the reason for that, he told me that these kinds of things were abhorrent in the heart of a bride of Jesus Christ. And Jesus detested them, that the angel prostrated himself in his presence to ask his forgiveness. When my Lord honored me with his divine presence, I no longer saw my holy angel. I asked him what was the cause of this, and he told me that during all that time, he was prostrate with deep respect, paying homage to the infinite greatness, which came down to my littleness, And indeed, I saw it that way when my divine husband favored me with his loving caresses. I always find him willing to assist me in my needs, and he has never refused anything I have asked of him. Once the devil threw me from the top of a ladder when I was carrying in my hands a stove full of fire without it spilling. I found myself downstairs unharmed, although all who witnessed it believed that I had broken my legs. I felt that my faithful guardian angel supported me, for I had the joy of often enjoying his presence and of being frequently corrected and reprimanded by him. I could not tolerate the slightest immodesty or disrespect in the presence of my sovereign master, referring to the angel, before whom I saw him prostrate on the ground, and he wanted me to do the same. At night, I frequently asked my guardian angel to wake me up to go talk with my beloved at the tabernacle. My heart then felt full of God. The conversation with Jesus was so soft for me that I often spent 2 and 3 hours in it, with no affections other than those of love, without being able to go back to sleep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.